Chapter 7. As the Whistle Blows. Cautiously, Morgan and I step into Coach's room. He's so fast asleep, he doesn't even crack an eyelid. Yellow magic pours off him like fog, rolling across the floor, over our shoes, and out into the hallway. I see at once what the source of the magic is. So, when you said Coach sleeps with his whistle in his mouth, you meant literally. Morgan shrugs. To be honest, I didn't believe that particular rumor either, till now. Coach's shiny whistle dangles from his lips, his every inhale a perfectly pitched E, his every exhale a smooth D sharp, which, repeated over and over, just happens to be the opening notes of Ludwig von Beethoven's most famous spell, Fuhr Elisa. He has no idea, I whisper, gaping. He must have been doing this every night for the past week.
The magic must be gone when he wakes up, Morgan points out.
I nod. It's gone and blowing around the camp, enchanting stuff.
How is this even possible?
Morgan swishes her foot in the magic, making it swirl.
Creating magic in your sleep?
Oh, it's possible, I say. Rare, but possible. I heard about a kid who played his tuba while sleepwalking and woke up to find he'd teleported himself to Australia. I take a hesitant step toward Coach, wondering if I should yank out the whistle. It's dangerous to interrupt a musician mid-spell, but then Coach isn't a musician, and this is no true spell, just a disastrous accident that's about to get a whole lot worse. He must be dreaming, I tell Morgan. Magic requires focused thoughts. So whatever's going on in there, I point at his head, is controlling what's going on out here. I sweep a hand at the flowing magic.
So he's dreaming about pummeling the campers with baseball bats?
Morgan squeaks. Only one way to find out. Eyeing Coach grimly, I flex my hand, preparing to yank out the whistle. I never get the chance. At that moment, the window shatters as a bowling ball hurtles through it. Morgan and I drop to the floor and cover our heads. Coach bolts upright, the whistle tumbling from his mouth. He screams. We scream. The bowling ball slams right through the wall and into the hallway. Then a bunch more enchanted stuff flies in and bangs against the furniture. We scream some more. Then Coach dives for Morgan and me. He shields us as he pushes us out of the room and down the hallway, basketballs and hockey sticks bouncing off his shoulders. Other doors open and counselors stumble out in confusion.
What is happening?
Coach shouts. Your whistle, I reply. It's the... Watch out! We all hit the floor as the door ahead bursts open and more balls come flying in. We crawl forward, gasping for breath, then collapse outside on the grass. We're met with a scene of chaos. The cabins have all been broken open too. Campers run screaming, chased by cartwheeling wiffle bats and footballs that fly like bullets. Coach's out-of-control magic lights the entire camp, zipping around, bright arrows of golden light. Huddled against the wall, I stare in horror while Morgan rapidly explains that all of this is, more or less, Coach's fault. I wonder if he'll cry again. Instead, he absorbs this information, squares his shoulders, and looks at me.
Right. Looks like we need a musician.
My eyes pop. How did he even know I play flute? You want me to fix this?
You might be the only one who can.
I look at Morgan. What about her? She knows a lot about music. My bunkmate waves her hands.
Whoa, I'm not a musician. Trust me.
Then why do you...
I come from a whole family of them, okay? But that doesn't automatically make me one.
Her tone hardens defensively.
You have to do this, Ames.
But I...
You have to do this.
She grabs my shoulders, while Coach stares wide-eyed, looking too scared to intervene.
This is important, don't you get it? My parents and brothers and sisters are out touring this week. Did you know that? They have a band that goes from town to town and plays restoration spells on old buildings and stuff. People love them. All I ever wanted was to be part of their band. But I've tried every instrument from accordion to zither, and it turns out I couldn't carry a tune if my life depended on it. Her grip hardens on my shoulder, and I try to speak, but she just keeps shouting in my face. Do you know what it's like to be the one kid in a big family with zero musical talent? The kid they accidentally left out of the family Christmas photo not once, but three times. I have never fit in at home, which is why I love this place. Camp Sweat Lake is where I fit in. It's the one place I'm never left out, never forgotten. And I need you to save it, Amelia Jones. If you'd let me talk, I blurt. I tell you that I was trying to say that I would love to help, but I don't have my flute. She looks down at my empty hands. You didn't bring your flute? Why wouldn't you bring your flute? Maybe because you terrified me into keeping it under my bed? Oh, right. She grins sheepishly. If I can get to my flute, maybe I can do something. But how am I supposed to reach our cabin through that? I shake my head at the hurricane of balls and bats thrashing the camp. With a loud crack, a small tree by the tennis courts topples over. Morgan narrows her eyes. You mean, how can you sprint 200 yards in the most epic game of dodgeball the world has ever seen? Why do I get the feeling she thinks this is fun?
Hey, McBride, says Coach. Yeah, Coach? I think I'm thinking what you're thinking.
She grins again.
I'm thinking we're going to need bats.
So, that's how I end up sprinting the fastest I have ever sprinted in my life, flanked by Coach and Morgan. They're armored in football pads, helmets, and shields made of trash can lids. As they run, they yell at the top of their lungs and swing baseball bats, which Coach snatched right out of the air, whacking any and all enchanted projectiles that come whizzing our way. More than happy to leave the hero stuff to them, I keep my head down and run like an uncoordinated rabbit, flailing and yelping and tripping to land on my face. Coach hauls me up again and we continue on. We're just steps away from the cabin when Morgan screams, "Coach, behind you!" He's trying to beat off a particularly insistent pair of boxing gloves and can't turn fast enough to stop the football speeding his way. It slams into his temple and he crumples to the ground with an oof. Coach, I yell. He waves frantically, looking dazed.
Finish the mission.
I can't. I barely duck in time to avoid being brained by a hockey puck. What if I'm not good enough? What if I make it worse?
You can do this, Amelia Jones,
he gasps out.
You haven't failed till you've given up. And at Camp Sweet Lake, every camper is enough.
Sucking in a deep, terrified breath, I nod to Morgan and we run on. As behind us, Coach vanishes beneath a cloud of magicked sports balls. We reach the cabin at last, out of breath. The girls inside have overturned a bunk and taken shelter behind it. They stare as I skid across the floor like I'm sliding into home plate. Coach would be proud. Grabbing my flute, I hurriedly assemble the joints while Morgan slaps away tennis balls and a wildly springing pogo stick.
Hurry, she cries out. I can't hold them off much longer.
Done. Flute assembled, I don't hesitate. I raise it to my lips. I walk slowly out of the cabin, playing Fantasy in D major with all my strength. I have no idea if it will even work. It's not like I had time to search the internet for a spell to calm a cacophony. I had to trust my gut and the extensive repertoire of flute solos I've memorized over the years. Fantasy is yellow magic, just like Coach's cacophony. It's a settling spell meant for things like soothing papers blown away in the wind. Mrs. Parrish, my music craft tutor, had me practice it over and over with snow globes. She'd shake them up, and then I'd have to make all the little white bits settle at the bottom.
Sweet and high, the melody reminds me of a butterfly flitting around and then settling gently on a flower. Hopefully, its peaceful notes will be enough to counteract the chaos. I'm pretty sure Friedrich Kuhlow had no intention of fantasies being used to calm cacophonies when he composed this spell. But with enough focus, I might be able to adapt it. But to do that, I have to be in the middle of the action. Morgan sticks close, swinging her bat like it's the Major League Baseball Super Tournament of the World, or whatever it's called. Anyway, I can bet any team in the country would be lucky to have her on their side. She sends softballs screaming for the lake. She sword fights, fencing foils. She whacks volleyballs so hard, there are probably astronauts scrambling to float out of their way. And she's laughing like a lunatic, loving every minute of it. "Did you see that hit, Ames?" she shouts. "Oops, sorry, gotta let you concentrate." She's right. The music can only do so much. It's my mind that's directing the magic, pointing it toward a goal. Music is nothing without the will of a musician behind it. Like the third rule of music craft states, "With all your soul, do play your part, for magic rises from the heart." Yellow light blossoms from my flute. Gold sparks drift high into the air and send out tendrils like spindly starfish. The threads coil around the whizzing balls and bats and other gear and gently guide them to the ground, where they lie still at last. It takes the entire length of the piece to harness the last few stray baseballs and settle them on the grass, and by then, I'm all out of breath. Lowering my flute, I feel my knees go wobbly. My head spins from lack of air. It worked. It actually worked. Then I pass out.